It is 4 p.m. Welcome to Office Hours. This is the 30-minute segment where I answer your questions about NES. So please drop your questions in the Office Hours text chat. The thread for this particular session is located right at the bottom of the Office Hours text chat. A few channels above this one. Let me lock last week's. There we go. That's locked. Drop your questions in. I'll get to them in any order that they arrive. For now, I do see some questions now. Player Cody asks, is the computer requirements for Windows on the Steam Store page for NES most likely up to date? I do see that it requires a graphics card of a GTX 950 and Intel iCore. To the best of my knowledge, it is. Once this mess is all over, I want to make a wiki page on the NES wiki or whatever, where we talk about requirements, recommendations, etc. Because about once a week, someone asks me about computer recommendations or headset recommendations, and rather than linking to a page which explains them with all of the effort I have on the planet because I've spent lots of time researching and putting it together, I get confused and can't remember what a gigabyte is. So it's very important that I make that wiki page for my sanity. To explain that a little bit more, when you're looking at sort of the system requirements of various games or hardware, it's a very different mindset to doing any other piece of work, because you're doing analytical comparisons of many numbers all at the same time, and it gets overwhelming. So I try and not do that unless I'm buying a computer. And then when I'm buying a computer, I will of course obsess over those details because I'm trying to save money. But if you're not doing that, then sometimes it can be overwhelming. Plus, I hate repetition. It's no one's fault, but when you've been asked about computer recommendations for running NEOS way too many times, it represents a problem that needs fixing, and in this case a wiki page would probably sort it out. Lex asks, is there any way that you've been able to read what users' badges are in NEOS or grab the user's badge textures? I've been using the API so far, but is there an easier way? All badges are derived from tags. There are some tags which are literally the NEOSDB rec ID of the badge. Those are custom 2D badges and 3D badges. They have the custom 2D or 3D prefixy stuff. The rest of the badges are sort of manually assigned graphics based on those tags. So that's a short answer to that question. If it's a custom 2D badge or a 3D badge, absolutely. You don't really even need any new API endpoints. You just need to convert the tag into a URL for the image. 3D badge is a little bit more difficult because it is a link to a 7z bison file. The standard badges you'll unfortunately have to pull out of the decompiling the common avatar builder, whatever it's called. I always get its name wrong, but I've got this is Vitron Visual Studio Code Bookmarks, where you can bookmark a piece of code, and it's bookmarked with badges in all caps. Because I'm very interested in that particular topic, as you can imagine. Shady Fox asks, will we make a tutorial about snappable clothing? I mean, the decent way was separate, moddable, independent from the avatar's clothing. I've done hats, scarves, bracelet, I believe, etc. I probably wouldn't do what you're after, though, what many people are after, though, which is things like hoodies for actual characters. One of the problems there is, of course, that the particular clothing thing needs to be sort of shrink-wrapped to the person, and then, of course, weight-painted, and in some cases, edited so that it makes sense for those particular, contours of that body. And so it becomes, a really complicated problem once you start unpacking it. Let's say you had snappable clothing ready. It's still complicated, because what you end up doing is you sort of bring it in as its own avatar, right? It's a 3D model file that's got all the bones for if it's a hoodie, it's got all the bones for a hoodie. It's ideally we would make it better, but short answer is make it in Blender how you usually would. There's lots of people in the community that provide clothing. I don't remember if I, was the one who suggested this, whatever. Someone says they coined an idea. I do not remember if I coined the idea. I seem to remember a conversation. There's a few friends who basically go, there is a new avatar base. I will make it thigh highs. And they make a lot of money because they're thigh highs for a dollar? They make a ton of money, right? So if you want to make some money, just be new avatar base. I'm going to make thigh highs, the arm socks, I forget what they're called, arm warmers, I don't remember. Hats, a hoodie, like every single avatar base needs a good set of thigh highs and a good hoodie. That's just the way that the internet works. But don't oversell yourself. Like it's just, particularly with the thigh highs, you just like select the legs, duplicate, expand a little bit. So like, you know, $1 or so. Shady says, I just mean with like bone setup, with simple setup shown. Yeah, unfortunately, like if it involves deformation, like hat doesn't, right? Because it doesn't need to deform to the body. But like if it's again like a jacket, a t-shirt, thigh highs, etc., it needs to deform to the body, and it just becomes a really complicated problem because it starts off with like, well, I could show you the Neos part of it, but the actual problem is then moved to the Blender part of it. And so it comes into sort of like, I have to show you the entire pipeline, and I think I can do a lot better if I like worked on that pipeline from a sort of engineering perspective in the actual game instead. It is very complicated. For those who do it all the time, they're like, it's not. I'm like, think about it, right? You have to get the base, you open it in Blender, you like duplicate bits of its skin and you edit them around, and then you weight paint them, and then you bring them in as like basically another avatar, and then you do the whole like swoopy like thing with the references, and then it sticks to them, and then sometimes it turns inside out, or sometimes it's not weight painted correctly, and so like one vertex of a jacket follows you behind like some sort of weird eldritch tale. Ask me how I know. Moving forwards, Ranger says, I tried to nab a statuette of my avatar that I captured, but saving didn't work. I have it saved to my inventory, but was not able to save it to my computer. Is there a data size limit? There is not a data size limit, but your question's unclear what you're doing. If you have it saved to your inventory, are you trying to export it? Because if you're trying to export it, there's like five different ways that exporting could go. There's this word I wanted to say there, but I don't know how to pronounce it, so I'll just type it. Array? Yes. exporting makes stuff like that. Yeah, so you just need to export it. I don't remember if I've got a guide on exporting. I'll take a look. I went to YouTube, and YouTube's got this banner. Help us promote fairness and ensure YouTube works for everyone by voluntarily providing demographic information about yourself. We'll keep responses confidential and secure. Press X to doubt. I do have a guide here. Yeah, I'm on it. I'm just scrolling up and down. Thank you, Lex. Beagle asks, how spaghetti is the source code, internal code? There are some cases where you can see Fruit's learning, and I'll try and explain that, I guess. You got to remember that like Neos is an ancient code base where bits periodically get updated to make more sense. So there's like, if you find like a really old component, you can see Fruit's is still trying to really figure out how Fruit's engine worked. Examples of that are actually the aligners, right? Axis aligner, circle aligner, etc. They all use slightly different code, and I've talked before about wanting to sort of rework those into the like a single component, maybe with an enum for the alignment mode or whatever, because that would update it and get all the stuff that we know. Occasionally that can be frustrating, but that just means like you need to open a work item to reinvestigate that stuff. So, for example, the integration of Beppy V2 was a great example of that, right? So not only did we get the performance benefits of Beppy V2, we also got the performance structure and coding benefits of Fruit's having to do a physics integration for a second time. I've also noticed, which I like, which is like Fruit's and other members of the Neos team have been adopting stuff that I do when programming, which helps people out a lot. Haven't thought about it before or didn't know that they needed to do it. Examples being like more descriptive commit names, random comments throughout the code. When anything is remotely complicated, you're just like, 3am prime is not going to understand this. I will leave a comment here. What I'm still trying to get done though, I have seen it occasionally, but the one I'm still trying to get done though is any single time you use maths, like if it's more complicated than basic mathematics, like say for example, you use Pythagoras in a piece of code. I want a comment somewhere that like provides the name of the formula that you're using. So say you use Pythagoras, I would like a comment that says that you're using Pythagoras. Because sometimes you look at code and you know it's like a bunch of symbols, a bunch of variables, and you're just like, all right, I understand in terms of memory, and operations, what we're doing to the data here, but I don't understand why. And so, like, linking to, like, the mathematical theory sometimes helps. That's really helpful for some of the vector stuff as well. It's like, you know, it's okay for, like, things like the dot product, because you can go look up what the dot product does. But let's say it's, like, something that uses, like, 5 dot products, 3 crosses, and, like, you know, inverse quaternion times by this, upside down this, add a banana. You're like, where are you doing this? So sometimes I'll see, like, a Stack Overflow link, and I'm like, that's fantastic, right? Because I can then go read the commentary about why the hell there's a banana in the middle of this mathematical equation. SLS asks, do you have a comment on blah, 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 blah. Do you have any comment on Fruchs resigning from SolarX? For those unaware, Fruchs resigned as a director from SolarX LTD. Here is my comment. Right. Next. Player Cody, regarding world building, if there are, for example, 100 objects and it's broken down to only 25 is actively on and the 75% is turned off, would the latter still create a lot of lag crashing if too many people start joining the world? These sorts of situations get kind of difficult. And the reason I say that they're difficult is because when I answer, usually the next time someone asks, they ask like a variation of it that's got even more complications about it. It sort of starts to become that thing kids do where they say why a lot. I will do my best to answer in a way that doesn't cause that to happen. So the later part of your guys' of your question, pluralized you for some reason there, I'm sorry, is about when people join. So when people join, the lag that you see when people join is like specifically related to them loading in sort of all facets of that, both their avatar loading in and them loading the data of the session. So even if some items are actively off, the user that is joining still needs to receive the data that they are there. As an example, let's say there's a piece of cheese hidden in the world, its active checkbox is off. Somewhere deep down inside, your computer knows that that cheese is still there. So that, like, I don't know, maybe the active checkbox gets flipped randomly, it appears instantly. If it didn't have the information that that cheese was there, then when the active checkbox was flicked on, it wouldn't be there until the data was sent. So, in short, turning off objects' active checkbox shouldn't really affect lag crashing when people start to join. It will affect things like operational load, which is, you know, once everyone's joined in, how laggy or crashy are they? Because it won't be rendering, etc. But it shouldn't really affect loading in. It may make a smoother experience for someone loading in, but they are generally still downloading the data. Exo the Wicker asks, is any part of the code where you just look at it and go, what the hell, Fruchs? I'm sure Fruchs does that too. The important thing is to separate the person from the code in those cases. There's lots of sort of research you can do about it, about the sort of mechanics of feedback and the sort of mechanics and emotion of software engineering generally. One of the best ways to do it is to remove the person and always use feeling words, because then you're like, it's better. Right? So rather than what the hell, it's Fruchs' fault, this code is bad, you remember like, hey, he probably wrote this like 5 or 6 years ago. This code is silly, not Fruchs. This code is silly. We should rewrite it. And then it's like a better way of going for it. There are some really old legacy components inside the uncategorized bin, which just don't make sense these days, but existed at a point in time when they did make sense. Examples being the unwrappable box driver and the up, I forget what it's called, like up, if Syro's in here, up-down controller. Syro had a lot of fun with it. Rain asks, I'm glad to see the newest team is still active. We have never not been active. I really want to fund development of the game. If the coders need money to pay other developers for work, I'll be willing to donate towards the cause. Is there a place I can fund newest developments directly? I choose not to answer that question currently. Shady Fox, some people are using emojis for comments. Do you do that in your codebase? I don't like emojis for comments. Something which is important to remember is that different people reading your codebase may have different, slightly different working models of the English language. Like this particularly comes up with, you know, people like Fruchs, who is from, you know, from a country I knew nothing about until I, you know, started working with Fruchs. I knew nothing about the Czech Republic at all. I knew nothing about their language, etc. Now, Fruchs' English is fantastic, but like occasionally I'll catch myself using a really complicated word And I know that I shouldn't, right? Because they're going to have to look that up, because that's a word that is just not used. I also get it a lot because I use British words and people don't know what I mean. Let me see if I can find an example. But the point being is I don't use emojis because they don't convey the point effectively in some cases. Like, it's much better to use a sentence. I'd have to load into Neos to grab that particular image. I'm not going to do that. But basically, where are we? In the UK, we call this a wheelie bin. And in many conversations, I have referred to that as a wheelie bin, and people have been very confused. It's got wheels, and it's a bin. It's a wheelie bin. I also don't like it when people use, like, really obscure emojis. Like, push the emoji button on your Discord right now. Like, jump around, scroll around. It's like, yes, here is a scarf emoji. Like, what situation are you going to use that in? It's cold today, children. Make sure you wear your scarf. All right, let's get back to questions. Bigloss, they're a technical term for when you, Prime, have been going, it's technical time for when you have been going at development side of the news for long enough to start laughing manically and creating random memes. Yeah, that happened. Like, for anyone who doesn't know, check my public folder, meme folder. Meme usually refers to a moment of internet popular culture that everyone can identify easily. You know, like the Badger song, Annoying Orange, all the ones that you guys know. Recent ones being the Borzoi eating the Pringles out of the Pringle can, stuff like that. But my meme folder is point in time jokes that won't make any sense. It's sort of like out of context Neos random stuff. And yeah, when I started making that folder was when I realized, hey, this is manic, right? Everyone else is like, I made this like amazing experience that like touches people and shows them the world and expresses this art, etc. in a really nice way. And I'm like, I made a fruit cup. It's in my meme folder. There's literally a fruit cup. Blair Cody expands on the previous question and says, like, even if it's not seeable, it can be a stress load. Yes, exactly. It's the same reason why we don't allow hidden genitalia on models, right? Because your computer still has it. And trust me, my cache is full of appendages I don't want on my cache, even though I clear it. I could probably get a lot of people banned if I went through the cache and I, like, you know, did like a sort of police lineup of appendages and tried to figure out who it was and reported them to moderation. I don't have time to do that, but the point is, like, I clear my cache, I go back to it. There's still textures of appendages in there, guys. Come on, read the guidelines. Stifle says, in relation to the code question asked earlier, how's the unit test writing coming along? I know you're exploring some of the attributes that come with the test framework, which are cool. Really nowhere. Like, the problem with unit testing is it isn't that useful in some cases. Like, in a lot of cases it is, but in some cases it's not. So when you're not making that many changes, it's less important. It's also difficult sometimes. It just depends on the day, right? I'm drinking Diet Coke today, and a bit later, I've got to consider buying some furniture, right? So maybe I'll write some unit tests today. Maybe I won't. It's not like an active project. My active project when I joined the team is meant to be documentation, but then I just did everything. That's that question. Pilksha says, I once heard that Neos was really bad at memory and lagging constantly from collecting memory, and then it was tuned to be much better. Is that true? Yes. When I first started playing Neos, you could only play for 45 minutes, then you had to restart it. Additionally, if you had more than one inspector open the world, it would lag and come crashing. There was also this like really weird way that the lag and the garbage collection interfaced with the audio system, such that you could hear when garbage collection was happening. I have a recording where a business lawyer joined my world, and his microphone was just wrong. And he, like, it was the first world I made, which is a moon that you can walk around with gravity. And so on the dark side of the moon, essentially, was business lawyer with his visemes, like, doing sort of, like, the ring vibes. And the audio is basically just sort of white noise and demon sounds. And he was trying to speak to us. And it was getting to the point of garbage collection as well. So there were hitches and, like, skips. It was, like, classic analog horror. It was terrifying. But you knew it was business lawyer, but still, like, you know, robot Birdman coming over from the dark side of the moon, like, speaking in tongues and analog horror staticness was just horrifying. One of my fondest memories of the early days, that audio clip. Coffee Kai says, related to the loading in Spike, is there a possibility for future rework to allow avatars to load in more dynamically? For example, VRChat's distance-based avatar loading. Another example would be performance levels, but I believe that's been discussed in previous office hours on GitHub. We have a bunch of solutions that we want to look at for doing it. One of the things we can do is just overhaul how avatar loading works in general. Maybe to add some features like you mentioned, like the distance-based loading, etc. But also just from a sort of like re-over architecting the code that does it however it does it, right? So avatar loading in general can be improved. Beagle updates with Prime. I made a turtle. Yeah, one of the turtles, one of the best ones. My memes don't have like instructions. If you look at Gearbell's toy shop, she had this interesting problem where she'd put something called in there and then no one knew how to use it. So she started resaving her items with pieces of text that were like how to use it. I might have to do that for some of my memes, because they're like really detailed, complex stories of like a point in time, but they have no instructions on how to activate them. So if you go to my meme folder, you find the turtle has a straw in its nose. You need to pull that straw out as quickly as you can. Imagine it's a Beyblade. You'll see why. Someone just said like IKEA lamp for a British insult, and it made me think of a comedy sketch, which I will now link. When I say comedy, it's actually, like, I guess reality TV? I can't find it. I'm getting, like, actual fiction. Okay, I'll have to find that afterwards. Essentially, it's just, like, a person in their room, like a son in their room, trying to, like, just get on with their day, and their mum just incessantly talking to them about buying a new lamp, and it's just, it's funny. Moving forwards, Exo asks, what's your favorite bug in Neos? It's hard to I don't like the word favorite, because the qualities that you're using to like rank things isn't clear to me. Like, favorite bug to experience, favorite bug to fix, most annoying bug, most silly bug, those are all different things, so it's a little difficult. Eric says, when will I get my pizza? I made the cheese breathing dragon a while ago and still haven't got my pizza. Go to my public folder, go to art, there's pizza in there. Player Cody says, when a user hops, enters an anchor that was added to a 3D model, I know on a Valve Index controller that a way to get out is through pressing the control stick. Is the action of pressing the control stick classified as a button input that could be disabled to prevent situations like hopping out of a helicopter or moving a vehicle? That's actually driven by a component. Do I have Neo's codebase open right now? I don't. It's in my anchor tutorial, but there's a locomotion avatar locomotion. Someone help me out here. Someone will know it. Avatar locomotion release, something like anchor. Yeah, it's something like that. Check the anchor folder of the components. There's a component in there, and you can make it, I mean, I wouldn't suggest this, of course, but you can make it so that you can't escape the anchor at all. There's usually two ways, though. The jumping is usually, like, standard. It's just what people can do. But that can be turned off. There is one where it's, like, how fast are you running? Like, for example, if you do, like, a full joystick locked in any direction, it'll see that as you're trying to get out and release you. There's jumping, and then a lot of other people do the sort of exit button thing, which is usually better than jumping, because it lets you sort of hide the exit button if you need to. There it is. Avatar Anchor Locomotion Release. Thank you, Shadow. A lot of people, they'll be like, how do you remember every component? It's like, I don't. Like, you got to remember how to get from point A, which is you don't remember the name of the component, to point B, which is you know where the component is. So even though I didn't know the name of that component, I know that it's about anchors, so I would go to the anchor folder, and then I would remember it. I see that a lot of people are like, I can't remember all of this. Prime can't remember anything. I don't know what I ate yesterday. I don't know if I actually ate yesterday. I don't remember. But I know that if I go in the anchor folder, it's probably what I'm looking for. Sometimes it's not. All right, here we go. Next question. Clover, welcome to the server. I see that you're new. I'm curious, do you have a good suggestion for a good guide for a desktop user avatar? It depends what you need. Like, I see desktop users kind of like over-engineer their avatars sometimes. We do have a lot of stuff sort of built in that makes it easier to use or easier to be a desktop user these days. But depends what you mean. Like, if you're just struggling with, like, regular avatar making, let me know. If you want some particular systems, let me know. I don't know, like, what angle you're after. Are you after an acute angle or an obtuse angle? I think you should be after an acute angle. Acute angles are acute. Acute. I've had a little too much caffeine. I apologize. Let's move forwards. Beagle says they didn't get a term. They did not. I don't really have a term for it. Like shitposting? I don't know. Like, when I make stuff for the meme folder, it is very clearly a shitpost. When I laugh manically at something I find inside the code, yeah, that's just a thing that happens when you're programming. You know, you spend sort of 5 hours going, what the hell's going on? And then you find a missing semicolon or maybe something really simple. I had one the other day where CSV is horrible. I know we don't really have much choice because of logics, but if you're not doing logics, never ever do CSV manually. Always use a library. There's libraries for every language. Trust me. Just trust me. Like, CSVs are just painful. But you're like, oh, I can get it right. I can make it work. You can't. I promise you, you can't. There are so many, like, obscure CSV rules you don't even know. Even if you do know them, you'll have forgotten one. Like an incorrect comma or an incorrect, like, quotation somewhere, and your CSV just explodes.
Okay. Sorry about the yawn.
More caffeine, apparently. So Shady has asked exactly... Okay. So they've expanded the X's question, what's your favorite bug? And they've said the silliest, the funniest, the most obscure. So we're going to go through each in quick succession. The silliest one was when we had a security issue with the Xbox Xbox dialogue. Yeah, the Xbox. You can play Xbox games directly inside NES. With the Xbox dialogue, where you were able to spoof a finger press by any user. I was using that for like 5 minutes before I reported it to Fruks. With a like disembodied finger. Like, imagine cutting a finger off an avatar and then just like jabbing it into the Xbox the export dialogue to the reason we wanted to do that was to write a CSV file actually to a person's computer. So like I had a piece of logics which was like a dynamic impulse, and I would send it and it would like make the export dialogue appear, and then this like disembodied finger would just be like, yeah, like poke the export button. It was funny. Silly. That's also the funniest, though, I guess. I'll skip that, because silly and funny are kind of the same thing. Let's see, most obscure. Some of the most obscure ones I like are, like, the ones where you just, like, you have no idea what's going on, and then you see that Fruks has fixed it, and you still don't know what's going on. So we had a lot of problems in the early days with DAE models. They would come in sort of weird, with, like, some of the objects in the DAE sort of weirdly rotated and stuff. A more modern example of that you might have seen, Earthmark was using an avatar which just for some reason didn't have a left leg. We couldn't figure it out. Like, the bones were there, it was just sort of crinkled or something. So there's actually a unit test now in our code that fixes or, you know, proves the fix for Earthmark's leg. It's funny, it's like Earthmark's leg is famous and immortalized in our code base. Clover has updated, they want a sort of disembodied ghost person. So if you put any object, like if you just like spawned a sphere, grabbed a cat, piece of cheese, you put it in the head of the avatar creator, that would be your head, and then the arms would just be our default, like, glovey hands. So that's how you can do that. It's a really old tutorial, but you can go ahead and watch it anyway. There'll be stuff you can map. Your fist, your first. I knew that the video was called Your First Avatar, but for whatever reason, I searched my videos for Your Fist Avatar. Alright, so that's that question done. I don't see any other questions. Let me just scroll up, make sure I haven't missed any. I do not see any missed. We are at 36, so 36 past, I mean, for anyone who doesn't know what I'm talking about. Sometimes I use, like, more military analogies for time, and people get confused. Like, it is currently 16:37, and you can argue about me and say it's 4:37. I don't care. Use a 24-hour clock. So yeah, I think we will leave off there, and I will go ahead and speak to you all next time. If you have any additional questions whilst I'm away, please drop them in the questions and help channel, direct message me, or send a carrier pigeon my way. I will probably eat it. And I will speak to you guys later.